Lord, we just want to say thank you for who you are. As we remember you dying on the cross for us, paying that price for us, we just want to say thank you. And as we look into this whole area of your resurrection today, we just pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes to your truth. That you would open our minds to grasp all that you've done for us. And Lord, that we would let down our barriers to be able to embrace your love. And just guide me as I bring your word today, that you would speak through this now for your glory. Amen. Resurrection Sunday. Wow. What a mix of emotions, isn't it? A roller coaster during Holy Week. A roller coaster of the reality of death, but also the reality of resurrection life. And this week has been a really painful but tough week for myself, because on Monday this past week, Jen received a message from a close friend's wife that my friend had died, who is the same age as me. And she'd come home to find him lying on the floor. There was no forewarning, no known illness, dead, gone. So this week's been a tough week. But my friend was a really strong Christian. He knew, loved, and followed Jesus. Jesus was the center of his life, of his reality. And his wife also knows and loves Jesus. This week has been a process of trying to process this loss, this grief, yet also at the same time having the real certainty and peace that this is not the end. That my friend is still very much alive. And in fact, he is more alive now than he has ever been before. There's a quote that I came across, I don't know who it's by, where it says, many people think that we are in the land of the living and we are going to the land of the dying. But Christians are in the land of the dying and are going to the land of the living. The early disciples consistently spoke of the hope to come. To live is Christ, to die is gain, it says in Philippians 1:21. Why? Because they saw the big picture. And they weren't consumed by the world we now live in. Because what was on offer in this life is nothing compared to the reality of what God has offered for eternity in him and with him. And there's brought it to stark contrast for me of, do we really know this for ourselves, church? And if you're visiting, or if you don't know Jesus, What do you see ahead of you? Do you really have a hope in what is to come? Or is it just something that you're just blanking as, oh, that's something from when I get older? Now, you know, you may look at me and think, you know, I'm not as old as him. But, yeah, early 40s, my friend was. And I'm sure we all know people who have died when young. Death doesn't respect age. It doesn't even respect what we see as health. Do we long for heaven? Are we living life for the now, or do we believe there is more to life than this? Ted Decker puts it this way: worldly Christianity is simply heavenless Christianity. It's a form of godliness stripped of the power of hope. What type of Christianity are you living in today? Is it a worldly Christianity that's heavenless, where there is no hope because you're just living in the now? Or is your life focused on investing in eternity? God brought to my mind this past week again and again and again, and just the timing of this is just, in terms of looking forward to today of Resurrection Sunday, Jesus said in John 11, 25 to 26, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you really believe it? Do I live my life in the knowledge of this reality? Am I sharing Jesus' love with others in the knowledge of heaven and hell? Because there is heaven and there is a hell. And our friends, our family, even ourselves, do we know where we and they are going? And are we actually impassioned by the knowledge that God has given us, or that I am sharing with you today? That there is life after death. That death is just a doorway into eternity that actually can start today. This is the amazing thing about Resurrection Sunday. Death is defeated. Amen? Death is defeated. Death came into the world through us cutting ourselves off from God. John 17:3 says, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. God is the source of life. He gives life. He sustains life. Separation from God brings death. If God is not part of your life, you are dead, though you are still living. When you accept Jesus into your life, it's him who brings eternal life into you. What brings this separation is rebelling against God, his reign. When we choose to break his laws, we sin against him. That's what sin is. It's turning away and rebelling against God. All of us have done this. Romans 3:23. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. What is God's glorious standard? It is his perfect ways. Often we can compare ourselves, can't we, with others and think, I'm not that bad, mate. I do good stuff. There are others a lot worse than me. But these sins, the stuff we do against God's best for our lives, ultimately hurts both others and ourselves. We overstep his loving set limitations, making ourselves God and rejecting God's love and guidance, and this separates us from God. You know, there's a quote, I can't remember who said it, and it's not even on this, on my thing, where it says, you know, God will never send a person to hell. It's a person's choice. God will never send a person to hell. It's the person's choice. Because God has paid it all. It has been provided that choice of life. Think back to, you know, to the old ones of us. Think back to, you know, Morpheus in Matrix. And he opened up to Neo, two hands. Which pill, the red or the blue pill? Carry on in your daydreaming, which is the life that many of us live in. It's a daydream. It's not reality. It's a living death, and it will not lead to eternity. Or take the other pill, where you face life's reality, that there is a God, that there is death that leads to hell, or there is death that leads to eternal life. It's your choice. Amen. Isaiah 59:2 says, it's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away and will not listen anymore. Why? Because God is perfect and holy. He is righteous and just. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wages are earned. They are deserved and reflect the justice of God. When we sin against God, the Bible tells us the deserved punishment is death, which is eternal separation from God. When we reject God, we're rejecting life. We're rejecting his ways, and the result is a chasm between us and God. And some of us may try and fill that chasm with stuff to try and get rid of the emptiness. Some try to deny it through a level of prideful self-denial. Others try to bridge the chasm by trying to earn their way by doing good works or religious duties. But none of these options work. And this is where Jesus' death and resurrection come in. It is a time for celebration because a transaction has happened and an enemy has been defeated. Colossians 2:13-15 says, you were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins. He cancelled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. God loves us so much that he chose to come and pay the price himself in the person of Jesus, his son. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And if we think back to what I said about Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a gift. It's a free gift. The good news is that Jesus stretched out his arms and died on the cross to take away our sins. And he rose from the dead to give us new power to live the way God wants. Now, a gift is freely given. When you receive a gift from somebody, you don't have to pay for it. It's given to you for free. But that gift costs somebody. It's free to you to receive it, but it costs somebody. It costs the one giving it. And Jesus paid the ultimate price to bridge the chasm. His own death on the cross. He gave it all for you and for me. And as we choose to trust Jesus, we receive this free gift of God. Jesus, as the only perfect, sinless person, died as our substitute. The righteous for the unrighteous. He took our sin and paid the price of justice. What a tough word, justice. God is a God of justice. Evil has to be held to account with a just God. But God is also a God of mercy and love, and he paid the price himself. Jesus is God. So as we are united with him, his death meant our sinful self died on the cross with him. And through his resurrection, we gained life. 1 Peter 3:18 says, that's what Christ did definitively. Suffered because of other sins. The righteous one for the unrighteous ones. He went through it all, was put to death, then made alive to bring us to God. The transaction that I said was Jesus' life laid down in our place. Rather than you pay the price for your sins and I pay the price for my sins, Jesus paid it for you with his life. John 3:16 says, whoever believes in Jesus will not die but have eternal life. Whoever believes. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? Do you know that to believe in Jesus is more than just to acknowledge him? It is more than to even know he is real. Do you know that? To believe in Jesus is more than even believing that Jesus is the Son of God and that he did all of his miracles. It's even more than even believing that Jesus is alive. And it's God. Because do you know that the demons themselves believe all those things? I think sometimes the demons have more belief in Jesus than most people in the church do at times. Dare I say that? And the Bible teaches that the demons will be going to hell. So what is it that Jesus is saying is, whoever believes in me shall not die, but have everlasting life. To believe in Jesus is to turn away, to repent of our sins, to accept his death on the cross, his life for our life. His resurrection from the dead, where he overcame the power of death itself, where he defeated Satan, is to make him then Lord. To make him God of our lives now and going forward. It's to bow the knee. Henry Drummond puts it this way. The entrance fee into the kingdom of heaven is nothing. The annual subscription is everything. And my question to you is, there's no entrance fee. You can take that step, but are you willing to pay the annual subscription? Which is to bow the knee to Jesus. Jesus defeated death itself. It wasn't just a transaction of a life for a life. It was that Jesus destroyed death itself. He overcame all principalities and powers, all demonic forces. He broke their power on the cross. He defeated death itself when on the cross, he cried out in victory, "It is finished. It is finished." There is no more need for anybody to be separated from eternal God. There's no reason any longer for people not to have eternal life. It is finished. The power of Satan itself has been broken. It is finished. No more regrets of the past. No more fear. No more shame. No more addiction. No more sorrow. No more rejection. No more guilt. No more condemnation. No more hopelessness. No more captivity. No more loneliness. No more defeat. No more darkness. No more dread. The power of Satan is defeated. All debts have been paid. No more death. It is finished. Amen. And it can start now. It can start today. And my challenge to you today is, have you entered into this eternal life? Have you bowed the knee to Jesus, or are you just going through the religious motions? Are you trying to buy your way in, or have you surrendered it all and taken up that annual subscription? Today is the day of salvation. It says in the Bible, do not harden your hearts. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till later today. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. You don't know when you will face death itself. Don't delay. John 11, 25. Going back to that, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus also said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not that there's many ways. Jesus said, I am the only way. I am the only truth. And I am the only way of life. And the one who believes in them shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. With that final question, do you believe this? Knowing what belief now isn't the belief of the demons and their level of belief. It's belief and bowing the knee to the Lordship of Jesus. I'd like us maybe just to get to our feet. And I'm going to just say a prayer. And I want you to just think for yourself today. Have I taken that step of bowing my knee really to Jesus? Do I really believe in Jesus to the point of bowing the knee? Not just head knowledge, not just religious, not just doing good works, but have I really accepted Jesus? And am I living a life based on that hope of eternity, or am I living for myself today? So I'm just going to say this prayer, and I'd encourage you that if you want to take that step, just to echo this prayer for yourself, just say it to your, in your mind yourself. Don't harden your heart. Today is the day of salvation. So, dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I want to take this step of recognizing that chasm that you have paid the price on the cross for my sins, all the stuff that I've done, that you want to give me life and life to its full, and that you want to set me free from the bondage, from all the things that have held me, and that you want to cleanse me. And I confess to you today, I've sinned, I've messed up, I've made myself Lord of my own life. And today, I want to bow the knee. I want to accept you, Jesus, as Lord, Savior, and God of my life. Today, I want to bow my knee to you. Today, I want to receive that free gift of salvation, of life in its fullness. I want that resurrection life. And I invite you now, Holy Spirit, to come and fill me, to come and enable me to live life your ways. With my eyes and my hope set on all you have in eternity for me, and that I will invest my life today and going forward for your eternal purposes and plans. Jesus' name.